Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. So, what's on your mind?
What's not on our mind? Let's see here. Where to start with that one? That's about as open-ended as you can leave it. I think kind of gone through a lot of kind of restructuring and doing stuff recently. And, you know, sometimes you take a step backwards or take a step forward, which I think we've done. But now I'm like, all right, I was super creating a pipeline. Now I got to get back out there and use Supernova to create the pipeline. So I was looking at Chapter 9, like kind of going over the building your pipe. I feel like I'm starting from scratch. It's summertime in Florida, so it gives me a little bit of time to work on some things. I usually travel and see people at their homes and do things like that. But I think now I have the opportunity to kind of take a step back, say, all right, how am I going to go build this pipeline with, you know, let's talk about the pipeline and rebuilding. And I think all of us can use a little bit of pipeline review. You know, we're very, very good at it, but sometimes you get away from it. So we got away from it a little bit.
One of the things that, and refresh my memory if I talked about the spreadsheet. Did I talk about the spreadsheet?
I don't think so.
I know we talked about pipeline, the 96-4-2-2-1 model.
We did, yeah, we did, but I don't know about a spreadsheet necessarily.
All right, well let me tell you what I did because, I mean, everybody's facing the same thing. And when we did an inventory of things that people aren't doing and need, and kind of is a little bit of technology, but I think can be helpful, is this idea of using an using a spreadsheet. So all it is just an Excel spreadsheet with seven different drop downs. Now Cindy has built one with some drop downs and some color coding and all that. You can do it yourself, or I can just simply have her send it to you. But what I thought we'd do is discuss it and then talk about the rationale of why it makes sense, and then how you'd use it in your meetings and so forth. Because I think it has a profound effect on the way you look at your overall business rather than just simply being a pipeline of prospects. So anyway, if you want to, we can take a minute. I go through the different.
Just give us the heading so that we can kind of give us a heading so we can kind of have an idea of it, and I'll draw it out real quick. And
okay. So there's seven different drop-ins. So the first one would be names or just simply names. So we're not gonna put a lot to that, but it's somebody that you would call within the next 30 days. Okay, so it's just a list of names. The next one is suspect. And suspects are people that you have called. You can't go in there unless you've called them, but they're not qualified yet. All right. So the next one is prospects. And prospects clearly would be somebody that would have passed your muster, meaning they are a good fit for you, they're qualified in terms of the assets that they have, and they're willing to act within a reasonable amount of time. So they're a true prospect. If you got referred by a great center of influence, that person would probably go in immediately once you talk to them as a prospect. Okay? The next is a customer. So a customer is a holding place before they become a client. So a client is somebody that pays a fee, okay, they've done a financial plan, and you really have what I call control over them.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to you, okay? So that,
okay.
That's a client. Now, if they haven't done a financial plan, they're still a customer. If they if they don't pay you a fee, they just do commissions, they're a customer. Okay? If they just use you to buy things occasionally, they're a customer. So
mm-hmm.
clients are people that, you know, fit in with your business model. The next is advocates. Advocate is a client who is also a center of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that's a person that likes you, trusts you, and will send you introductions without you asking.
Right.
And the final is ambassadors. Ambassadors are in the ambassadors club.
Mm-hmm.
And just like your recognition clubs, think of it as your recognition clubs. Every year you have to qualify, right?
Right.
And in this particular case, every year they need to qualify. And they qualify by sending you someone that becomes a client within that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into the ambassadors club, and you can do a recognition dinner for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you get a recognition dinner typically for being in a club, you go on a trip, you could take them on a nice cruise, dinner cruise, as a reward and thank them for being in the ambassadors club. You could go as far as you want to in terms of recognition. Think of your clubs and what they do for you, what you would do for them, and wouldn't it be worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a person that sends you a client that's qualified every year is
yeah.
really valuable. That's valuable
yeah.
to you, incredible
mm-hmm. exactly.
value. You know,
mm-hmm.
Could be worth, you know, $100,000 in terms of fees for you.
Easily,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
that's the game would be, obviously, to move them from the left-hand column to the right-hand column, theoretically having a small number of people who fit into the right-hand column. I don't
yeah.
mean small in terms of, you know, but you have 30 clients that are all ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be just amazing business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that, and here, this is your Monday meeting. Everybody comes and talks about what they did to move somebody from the left-hand column to the right-hand column.
Mm-hmm. That simple. I used to call it the 100 Club, like here's the 100 people you want to do business with, but this is a little bit more an active list of, I like the idea of customers, not clients. I like that. So,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, because that's what happens in our business.
Right. Well, you get reassigned people and they just fall into this customer thing and you never, you know, before 1242, they just stayed customers.
Right.
And now with Supernova, we're just not going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to make them into clients or
uh-huh.
we're going to theoretically find somebody that's better suited for them.
Right. Right.
Okay. So this is something that literally everybody can make a contribution to.
So do we have one team spreadsheet of these people? Is that what you're saying? This is a team. It's a group effort, right? I mean,
right.
This is one spreadsheet.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And if they're assigned to different
I'm
people,
the problem with that, Rob. You know, I'm the cog in the wheel there, right? Because I just kind of keep them all and hide them all. And, you know how we are as advisors.
But I think that is the, you know, if just think about that. If that's the first thing that pops up in your mind,
yeah.
then this would be particularly useful for you.
I mean, it really is because I have a list on my desk, handwritten. As advanced as I am in everything else, it's almost like smoke signals. Oh, God. Kay, do you think you understand what the spreadsheet looks like?
I do.
And you can do it by FA, you know, if different FA clearly
you
can
use different
color
colors or whatever.
Right.
Color
right.
Stuff.
Yeah. I think we should start
Cindy
doing that.
Cindy can send it to us, right? Cindy, she has it.
She has it.
We can email
actually,
Cindy.
Yeah.
We'll email her.
Cindy and just ask for it. And then here's what I would love. This is a new idea, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a breakthrough idea.
Mm-hmm.
You appreciate little tiny breakthroughs, so do I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, to other people, it's like, what? No big deal. I'm not even going to bother doing it. It's not that big a deal. But for us, it's a big deal because it makes our life easier in increments, and it gives us power to visualize and shine lights on who we are and what we're doing. So, and that's important for us to shine lights on ourselves so we can't hide our little foibles and what we like to do, because it's just not good for us. So that's what I really like this. So what I'm asking is that you do it and then tweak it.
Okay.
You know, figure out what makes it better. We did this to make it better. And that's your team.
Okay.
You know, you're not going to end up doing this. Your team is. So when they do it, come back and say, you know, we tried this. And you can work with Cindy on it, or you can talk to me about it. But the idea is that let's work together to create something that is of real value and gets incrementally better with usage.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Sheila, if you email Cindy and get what she has laid out, then I'll work with you and get that going.
Perfect. Yeah, I just emailed her.
Yeah, and she's got some drop. She said, oh yeah, I built these drop downs and all that. I don't know what that means. You know, but whatever.
We'll figure it out.
If it makes it better, good. You know, you guys can talk drop down language. You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's really. I mean, I know what they are. I don't know how to make them, but I'm sure there are people already.
Is there some sort of time frame, Rob, that someone should remain a customer, or can it be indefinite? It can't really be indefinite based on our Supernova
it's really
model,
you
right?
Guys, you. I think you want to. I think what you do is you use your common sense and judgment.
Yeah.
Right.
And if somebody's a customer and they've got $5 million with you, and you've been waiting for 4 years for them to do some business, and they haven't done it, then we call it fill or kill, right?
Yep. I agree with that.
And it's like, okay. Now, something I didn't tell you, which is like a big drop on my part, is that for each of these, we want to put a date that they arrive in each column so we can tell what our closure rate is. So it took us a year to close this person. It took us 2 years to close this person. And we want to see how long they've been a customer. And we also want to, and it doesn't have to, it can be a real ballpark, but we want to think about assets away from us. So
yep.
we just put a, you know, a 10K next to the customer, meaning 10 million is away from us. Okay, so a 10M or 10KK or however you designate. Okay, so you're always, if somebody's coming in with a rollover in 6 months, that would be asset that's inventory. So that would be, you know, $6 million rollover coming in. You wouldn't write that all out. You just put 6M or 6KK, whatever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that way it's something that you can use, and you could actually cum up the assets away to see what your inventory looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
But I'm really interested in your closure rate. You know, from the time you get an interest, and, you know, then we talk about how do you improve your closure rate. Well, this one
well,
we
I
got
think,
as, yeah, introduction this, from a CPA that was fabulous, and we closed them in a month, you know.
Right. I think this kind of gels us together as a team a little bit to talk about this and to give us a common goal to work on, and now we can measure the metrics a little bit more instead of it being kind of so haphazard. It's more intentional.
Right. And where, you know, where are our names? You know,
right.
Everybody needs to have a fresh group of names that they're going to be calling that month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that way this monthly meeting can be really, I mean, I want you to do this weekly, but when you meet with me, you should have really made some progress on this sheet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you talk about clients. So how do you take in all right, now we have this list. We're working on it. We're meeting with people. These people that are clients that aren't necessarily, I mean, they're actually customers, not clients yet. I mean, do you set, I guess this is two questions. Do you have to sit down with them and explain, here's the level of service that we're going to provide. This is what our clients want. And they should pretty quickly let you know if they want it or not. But the next thing is, do you, you know, if you have somebody that's on the edge, how long do you give them a trial for? Let's try this.
What do you mean by on the edge? What do you mean?
They're a customer. They're not a client.
Oh, okay.
Do you say, all right, we're going to give you 3 to 6 months of this service and see how you like it, or we're going to give you 3 months and then come and have a review? I think you got to put a limit to how long you let customers be customers.
You have to use
your judgment, but at the same time, what do we all do when we use our judgment? Well, we'll just keep going, and then you're working for nothing.
Well,
you know,
so
I mean, that's what.
I think one of the things you can do, I mean, one of the things that I always said for teams was to take each other's list of names and go through them and say, you know, why do you have this guy? Why is he still a client?
Right.
We haven't done
this
any business.
That drives you crazy, right? We don't do any business.
Right.
It's not
right.
good business.
And so,
right.
And so we don't see it the same way our partners see our asset and our clients. So by seeing this sheet and going through it name by name together, you have to defend it. I think you have to defend each one of these on a monthly basis, saying this guy is, you know, I'm making real progress on this guy. You know, we're doing 12-4-2, and, you know, we're going to do a financial plan, and I've presented financial, you know, I've presented asset management where we'll be paying a fee, and I think he's going to go for it.
Rob.
So now, you know, that's a really good conversation. Or, you know, 3 months from now, I haven't, you know, nothing's changed. So what are we doing? You know.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
An example here that I think is worth introducing is Mendel is a client that I had fired a few years ago, and he took his $5 million and went to Northern Trust, and I stayed in touch with him enough that when he got tired of paying Northern Trust four times what he was paying me, he called back. But this is a key example. I wasn't willing to give him the attention that it was going to take to drag him over the transom of the boat because, number one, that's not how I fish. Number two, that's not how I think we resource our time. So what we did is Trent has spoken with him, Kay has spoken with him, I have spoken with him, and last week, I think it was, or the week prior, he said, well, okay, I want to come on board in September. I mentioned that to Kay. She spoke with him. I spoke with him. He's coming on board a week from – no, he's coming on board this coming Friday.
Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
He's coming on board tomorrow without having the entire gentle coaxing of three people. This guy would never have come on board. So there is a way in which three people working gently in concert together can succeed where one person struggling alone will not.
Well, and you guys must have seen something in him I mean, you're
he had $5 million.
Yeah, but $5 million is $5 million. That's a good number, but it's not one where you're going to coddle somebody and you're not going to. He's got to be a good guy for you to give him this much.
Oh, definitely a good guy. Yeah.
Right. Right. So he was just screwed up going to Northern Trust.
Well, no, we knew that. My point is he would never have come to us perhaps at all if we had not introduced a gentle team approach. Hey, doctor, why don't you meet with Kay? Hey, doctor, why don't you meet with Herb? Hey, doctor, let's meet you and Trent and I. So, I mean, I think that really, I think there has to be a thing that says, you know, I'm not sure what the trigger is where we say, you know, I'm not getting this alone. You know, maybe I need some help.
Right. Well, that you can feel that, and that's unique. Okay, this is one of the. That's a very rare story you just told me. That's not the usual. Okay. Mm-hmm. You either feel it or you don't. You either know the guy's a good guy and you can close him, or the more. We've talked about this, that when someone will not become a client for one reason or another, and I'm talking about customer to client because that's where we started, to me, that's a signal. It's a yellow light. It may not be a red light, but it's not a green light, okay? So it's a yellow light, and that yellow light says something's wrong. He doesn't see the value in what we're doing. We haven't presented it properly. I haven't presented it 5 times. Something is wrong. Either he's not a good fit for us, or we're not a good fit for him, or we haven't presented it properly, or something, right? And so to me, that's what you want to do with each of these people that are customers, is determine what it is that we can do, for example, what you just did. You know, this guy loved the idea of a team, obviously. And, you know, that takes some intuition to be able to see that. And that's very unique. So you saw that. So what you want to do is shine the light on these customers and then do your forensics and figure out what it is that you need to do in order to bring him over the line, and then approach it in a completely optimistic way. Meaning, let's have lunch. I'm really excited to tell you about what we're doing.
Right.
Right?
I think.
And then you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go into it as if he's going to say yes.
Well, yeah, I saw it. Yeah. And I think. I think we should approach all clients this way, kind of.
I really do. I mean, I think it sets us up to be very similar to the trust companies with whom we compete, and I think that Trent just put his finger on it. Because here's what happened, Rob. This guy said, so-and-so at the trust company was charismatic, the way that you're charismatic, Stephen, but I couldn't stay there because there was nobody to back him up. So he sees me as charismatic. I don't. But that's neither here nor there. That's his beacon. But the thing that really sealed the deal was he felt like, okay, what if Mr. Charisma starts ignoring me, or what if Mr. Charisma dies or quits or retires? Then he's got two really reliable people. I think that's something that this team brings that nobody else can bring intelligently and seamlessly.
Yeah, I think that's
wealthy,
it.
Wealthy people want to have a team. They intuitively know that a team is better for them than one individual. Mm-hmm. They want a team. Never goes on vacation. Team never goes to lunch. A team is valuable. Team never retires. Mm-hmm. That they want a team because they want to be safe. So by projecting a team and telling them about the team, educating them on the team is essential for every high net worth client you're doing business with. You need to do that.
Rob, another key, and I know this is going to sound mechanical, But another thing that I really like to be able to say when Kay and Trent are there or not is to look the client in the eye and say, you have to understand, I have my partners include one person who was in the trust industry for a long time and another person who was in New York on his way to his office on 9/11 and said, my building's gone, I'm moving to Florida. It gives them a sense of incredible power and incredible thoroughness that those two people are their allies.
Yeah, experience, a lot of right. experience, which is real life experience, life and death experience, and those are important.
That's pretty good stuff, right? Pretty good 27 minutes right there, I'd say.
Here's something that I want to add that we used to do at the agency is we call them targeting meetings. And so analysts and ops people, they would all get together and they would have a list of people that they really were interested in. And we would just talk about personality traits and what's the best way to approach this person, what is appealing to that person, who's the best person to send after the target. So we would have, you know, a group of people discussing each target or each prospect in this case.
Yeah.
Really come up with a plan that is tailored to that individual to target them and to go after them in a more conscious way rather than, okay, this is a person I'm interested in. Let's just call them up, you know, without a plan.
And Kay's point is brilliant here because Dr. Mendel is somebody if I fired him, I didn't want him, but he's somebody that kept coming back to Kay saying, what do you think? And she kept giving me operational guidance on it. So I think that her point here is really, really brilliant.
Well, there
are just certain people that get along with other types of, you know, different types of people, and we can't just keep throwing the same person at a person that's not clicking with them, you know, when we have other options because we have a team of people.
But moreover,
need a team, and some people need more than one person.
Right.
Of course the personalities, we all know, we've all tried to stick with someone that we shouldn't, but some people, and the wealthier people that we want to deal with, don't want to have just one person. They want to know that one person's there, but they want to know what's the subject matter around that person.
Right.
And I think that we got to sort of start introducing that subject matter around the person a little bit more. Stephen, you've been best at that. I got to get better at it.
Yeah, the dynamics,
getting to the point where it's going to allow me to do that.
But here's the other thing that we bring in a meeting, I'm really grateful for this call because this allows us to articulate it. But one of the things that happens in a meeting with either Trent and me or Kay and me or the three of us that the client is blown away by is Trent may look at me and say, you know, Stephen, I agree with you about X, Y, Z, and here's another point we haven't discussed. He doesn't say, I disagree with you, okay? But he says, I agree with you, and here's something you overlooked, something I would not have remembered if he wasn't present. Kay has done another thing, which I think is brilliant, which is we're in a meeting and I say to the client, I wish I hadn't done so-and-so, that's my fault. Kay immediately says, no, that's my fault because I should have done X. These people see that we are so proactive and so integrated that they're very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of egos being beaten around there. I mean, really a lot of non-egotistical behavior.
Right. Very important. And, you know, we studied styles when I first, you know, got in the industry. But I think it's really important that you spend some time thinking about styles, as Kay mentioned. I think that each person is best suited for a different style. One is an engineer with style. You know, one's an alpha, you know, A-type personality, wants things done quickly, doesn't have much time, no fooling around. And other people want to just talk and want to know, you know, they want to hear about your kids and they want you to talk about their kids. And so it's just, you really need to be aware. You almost want to categorize each one of these people as you go through this and say, you know, he's really a type A personality. He really doesn't want to hear much about the kids. He wants to get off the phone, you know,
right.
He wants to get off the phone. The 12-4-2 is great because he likes the appointment, and it gives him a chance to fire five things at me, and then I get them all done. He's very happy. But, you know, when we talk to Mrs. Snyder, she loves to hear all about, you know, everybody's family and this and that. And it takes, you know, you just spend, just plan on spending the first 5 to 7 minutes talking about everything else. And then we'll get to the meat. And if you don't do that with that style person, they'll be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, you know, that's why we always start, you know, before we get going on the agenda, what's on your mind. That tells the client they have permission to speak and to you're really listening. That's with all types, but the type A will immediately come in and get right to the point. The others will want to socialize. The engineer wants to know everything about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just important to understand that, and to, because you can mess up with the wrong style. And that's why they tend to affiliate with certain styles. So certain person is better to call them on the regular basis, but they like the other person periodically. Okay?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's where you kind of have to have that intuition about what it is that we need to serve up this month.
Mm-hmm.
That's asking a lot, but it's real.
Yeah. No, it's very real.
Yeah, it's very important. And they will. I'm you know, I like to talk to certain people about certain things, and I know what I'm going to get with each person. And I enjoy that, you know. That's why teams are good. Teams are really good. So I'll call and specifically ask for somebody that I want to talk to about a certain subject. Anyway.
That's
probably enough, but I think,
yeah,
you know,
I think so.
when you're dealing with, you know, the beginning, names, suspects, mm-hmm. prospects, then you go to your 96-4-2-2-1 model and say,
mm-hmm.
you know, are we using the models to bring in the prospects and suspects and names? When you're dealing with customer versus client, it's your diagnostic analysis, right? When you're dealing with advocates versus ambassadors, you're talking about are we using the VIPSA to get them to understand that they haven't given us an introduction this year, and they were ambassador last year, and they'll be upset if they're not invited to the dinner on the cruise.
Right.
Right? So we need to remind them that it's getting to be about time that they gave us that important introduction this year. So with each section, you need to think, what am I going to do actively to move this people from left to right? Because we've given you all the tools. The question is, are you comfortable with all the tools? And do we need to spend, this is where the coach can help, the book can help, you know, the multiplier can help, the team dynamics book can help. So, you know, those things are available, and you need to reach out and say, I need some help in this area. And that's where, you know, next month's call can be very helpful, but really important that you get into it and find out where you get stuck.
Mm-hmm. No, that's helpful.
Kay, do you get that?
I think,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think having these short calls is very, very helpful. I mean, yeah, you get a lot done in a short period of time just with a few questions.
Another thing, Herb's on the call. We need to make sure that he knows how to get this data online. I don't know how to get him there. You know,
what
to
data?
go in after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get the videos or whatever.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll get him that info.
Oh yeah, you just Ask Cindy. She'll get all that set up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I'm good. I mean, I'm looking forward to the spreadsheet, and sort of it's a group activity that I think will work very well.
Yeah, I think I'm fun. I'm excited about it for you guys.
Yeah.
Because I've not had a tool that we can all look at and say, here's our opportunity, here's our report card all in one sheet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
You know, okay?
All right, I'm good. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
No, just Sheila and I will work with Cindy to get that going.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.